Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I just want to pray. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God, Lord, that you are good in every way. God, I'm excited because you are moving, Lord. We just want to dedicate this time to you, and I ask you to lead me, and that I speak what is in your heart this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so God has been speaking to me about prayer, and I really felt that I need to preach on prayer, and my sermon is called The War Room 2, actually, now, because I've done one before, and I shared the previous time on Revelations 12, and I thought most people are going to, who preach up Revelations 12? A lot of all the prophets really enjoyed it because they all said they loved hearing from that. But this time, I just felt I needed to share this one scripture to you, 2 Chronicles 7:14. That if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. And, you know, there's a if then, that there's something that we do, and if we do it, then God is going to do something else. And this whole scripture starts off with if. And that if is a choice we have. God has given us a choice. So, and you know, I've been really wanting to pray, and the more I try to pray, and I remember Tani Amanda says, "Jylle moet bid," and the more I try to om te bid, the more I just didn't get it right. The more I felt condemned, ek kan nie bid nie, ek is nie. The more, and I thought I'm supposed to be praying, but I realized that sometimes you try to do it because you know you must do it, and not because it's from here, and I didn't get it right. I just didn't get it right. And this whole thing about if, there's two gentlemen that I saw one day, and both people felt they needed to come to me for deliverance ministry, and both I realized needed to just hear about Jesus first. So the one guy, I prayed the morning, and God gave me three things. I wrote it on a piece of paper. I kept it in my pocket, and he shared his story, and it was hard. I couldn't believe what this man has gone through. And by the end, by the time he was finished, what I had in my pocket didn't make sense to what I was hearing coming from what he was saying to me. So I was like not sure what to expect, but I still knew he needed Jesus. So I said to him, I asked him just the one question that was relevant to the paper, and I don't want to say anything because I didn't want to expose him, but it was a deep one, it was a harde ene geweest. So I took out this paper and I said to him, you know, do you struggle with this? And he looked at me and then he shared something that really shook me, and I felt really sorry for him, and I gave him the piece of paper, and then he knew that God knew who he was. And he gave his heart to the Lord. But it was a choice. He made a choice. And it was so easy for him just to surrender. And then he's a really handsome young man, like, but tall, and good looking. He could have been a model. Now this guy holds me, and he holds me. But he's like more than 10 years younger than me. And I'm tapping him like I would tap Daniel. And I'm not good with hugs. And he's hugging me, and he's crying, and this other lady is crying, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, oh, I know I must do this, because Jesus requires this from me. So in faith, I stood there, and he's crying, and he's holding me, and I'm allowing this guy to just hold and let Jesus' love flow through me. And it was amazing. It was amazing. I felt heavy, awkward afterwards, but I knew God had touched him, so everything that we will do for Jesus, amen. So praise God for this guy. He gave his heart to the Lord, and I'm trusting he's going to get baptized soon. And then I saw another guy, iemand wat julle goed ken, for 2 hours. Yeah, and he came, the Illuminati, and he took it from all the way. And the whole time I could just say to him, my brother, Jesus loves you. And I could give him answers on all his questions because I've been through the mill. In the beginning, I would like go to Google and look up all these questions. But now, over the years, I've got a bit of an arsenal that I can help you to share the truth with you. But with him, he heard the truth, but I could give him the love that Jesus loves you. But and then he came to a point because he likes tick too much, not typing the aniene. So he just said, ek het nou genoeg gehoor. And he stood up. I said, ek is nou klaar. And he walked out. And I think the one guy, I gave him like a 10-minute gospel. The other one, a 2-hour one. I just realized choices. We have a choice. We can hear the same message, but all of us will have to make that choice. You know, when I was still in school, there was this one girl, and I really thought she was fantastic. And I made the huge mistake, if you're still young, don't tell anyone when you like someone until you know it's a sure thing. Then you can start telling. So I told all my friends that I liked this girl. But what they didn't do is they didn't tell me that she likes my best friend. So, embarrassing. So eventually I found out when they were hooking up, I only realized, but she liked my best friend. So I was devastated. And, you know, that thing where you like someone, but you realize they don't like you. It's terrible when that happens. But for me, it was a good thing because he made her pregnant when he just left school. And now he's a grandfather and I'm not. So, maybe it is a good thing. It didn't work out that way for me. So I'm happily married and I've got 2 kids and I'm, praise the Here. Ek ken die Here. Ek is nie 'n oupa nie. With my child who had a child out of wedlock as well, you know, so that thing. But then you meet that girl and you know that she likes you. Huh? Isn't that amazing? When you know there's something there and she's responding, there's nothing better than that. And you go like, but now you just don't want to blow it. So when you meet her, you just say to, ek is lief vir jou, ek gaan met jou trou. And you're like, I shouldn't have said that. But it doesn't matter because she likes you anyway. And she just says, yes. So you knew. We just knew. That was amazing. But that's how Jesus loves us. He first loved us. It's not what we do. He's already, hy's opgewonde. He loves us. But we must make the choice. And the choice is that we come to a point where we say, okay, I give in. I'll go out with you. For all of us. We must make the choice. And it's about that choice that when we meet him, we just can't get enough of him. Because he is such an amazing God. And he will never force himself on anyone because of his love. He cannot force himself on us. He can only give us a choice. And we can say, yes, I choose, or I'm not ready yet. But the choice will always be ours. And, you know, for us, the scripture here, if, that's a choice. If we decide to do it, God responds in a wonderful way. But he cannot respond unless we say, take me. Pick me, I want to be there. Pick me, Lord, pick me. And I'm saying it to the Lord this morning, you must pick me. Because then the next verse he says, the next word is, my people who are called by my name. And this is who we are. When we respond to Jesus, we are his people. And we mustn't do things because we have to. We must do things because we respond to him. Because of his love for us. Not because I feel ek moet nou bid, ek moet nou die Gideons join, want hulle doen goeie werk, maar dis nie in my hart nie. Ons kan nie dit doen nie. Ek moet kerk toe gaan nie. We must want to go because I've met Jesus. And out of that place, we want to do things because it's exciting for us, because we have made the choice, we've met him, and that love motivates us to want to do things for him. So we understand that we are God's people, and God's people, God says in Ephesians 1 that in him, in Christ, we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So in Christ we have redemption, we have forgiveness, which God has given us in abundance because of his love for us. Then verse 11 of Ephesians 1 says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So in Christ we have redemption, we are free, we also have forgiveness, but we don't always have that. We have an inheritance. God wants to do a great and mighty things through us, which is amazing. So the next slide, just to sum that up, is on the one side the world, and this is what I was trying to do with the Revelation 12 sermon, to say this is a dark world that we live in, and these bad things that happening to good people because of Satan's domain on this earth. It's hard. So on the one side, it's the darkness and there's death and fear and depression, anguish, despair, sickness, oppression, and poverty. But Jesus comes to die on the cross that we can have life. The darkness becomes light. The death becomes life. The fear becomes love. Depression becomes joy. Anguish becomes peace. Despair becomes hope. Sickness becomes healing. Oppression becomes freedom. Poverty becomes abundance. So the exchange has done, because Jesus made atonement for us. We have salvation in him. He has defeated Satan and the works of Satan. There's healing and there's deliverance for what he has done on the cross already. So in my own life, I came home one day and I said to Lynette, I need healing. Emotional healing. And I prayed and I said, God, and he just didn't answer me. And I thought, why is he not answering me in this? Then he said to me, I've done it already on the cross. You must accept it. So I realized, he's done it already. It's done. Why do I struggle? He says, you must believe it. You must faith. You must become. It must become who you are. It's what he's done already. So in Christ, the work is done. We move out of the darkness into his light. And the next thing that I got from Derek Prince says, Jesus became rejected so that we can be accepted. He was wounded so that we can be healed. He was crushed so that we can be whole. He was cursed so that we can be blessed. He was punished so that we can be forgiven. He died so we can live and live in abundance. The work has been done. And then the question I ask many times is, why do we still feel rejected if he took the rejection on us? Because now we come and we feel, oh, I'm not good enough. And why do we struggle with that? Why is it that I can't walk in the fullness if he has done it already on the cross? And I personally believe it's faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes in relationship with God. Faith comes because we grow in God and we understand who he is. We seek him, we pray, we grow in our relationship with Christ. In that place, we realize what he has done for us. He starts responding to us and we start walking in the fullness of what Jesus has done for us already. But it is not because of what I need to do. Because every time we have an encounter with Jesus, we just say, give me 10 things that I must do. Just give me 5 things, just 3 things, because we want to do things. But he says, I want to have relationship. We want rules, but Jesus wants relationship. He wants to know. He wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to tell us things. He wants to grow in that. So the next verse, 1 John 4 verse 18, there is the free gift that he's done. We are free, but why do we still struggle to walk in the fullness many times? This is the question I asked me, but 1 John 4:18 was, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. The New King James Version says with torment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So what I realized here, fear and love are opposites. Fear is still in the darkness side. Love is in the complete, what Jesus has done for us already. Why do we struggle? It's faith, but it's that process of being sanctified. Yes, we are justified. God says we are sinless. He declares us sinless. Is there still sin? Yes, there is still sin. But that process is called sanctification. So we don't stop sinning because I don't want to, because I have to. We stop sinning because we cannot sin peacefully anymore. Because in Christ, you don't want to sin anymore. Yes, you will sin, but then you feel so guilty afterwards. And then the word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you say, oh, I know, but I feel so guilty. I feel so ashamed. I feel so guilty. And God comes and he takes away the desire to want to sin. So we grow in the process of wanting to be holy because God is holy. So he takes away the fear, the addiction, whatever it is, because we spend time in his presence. So we receive that free gift that God has given, to us. So in 1 Peter 2:9-10, our biggest struggle is to understand our identity in Christ. We believe what the world is telling us. We believe what Satan is trying to tell us. And this is the one thing, the biggest revelation that I've had this year, is we are being told by the world who we are. And we are not allowing God to tell us who we are. So we will believe the world or the devil or whoever it is that says you're a loser. You are not good enough. You will not make it. So we allow those thoughts to change and to affect our identity. But what does Jesus say? He says we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. God says, I love you, and we feel rejected. How can we feel rejected when the God of this universe that created the heavens and earth says that I love you? It's impossible, because he's done it. He says, you are mine. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are my people. You have chosen to be mine. God chose each one of us to be his. And as you understand what he has done, our identity gets built and we start trusting him because we realize God is a good God. And there's a future and a hope for me because God is good. He will not allow me to go down the drain because he's good. Because he's got his hand upon me and he's leading me, he's guiding me. Even though if I don't even hear his voice, even if I'm not faithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Even if I make mistakes and I fall, he says, I'm there because you are mine. You belong to me. And God wants to do great and mighty things through us. So he seeks us. He wants us to know him. He wants to be with us. God is good. So the word says that we are loved by God. We are called to be his saints in Romans 1:7. We are beloved by the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bought with a price, an expensive price, the blood of Jesus. We are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. We are no longer called servants, but we are called friends, friends of Jesus. Jesus calls us his friends in John 15:15. We are reconciled to Christ himself, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He wants to reconcile families. He wants to reconcile marriages. He wants to reconcile sisters and brothers that don't talk to anyone anymore. He wants to reconcile friends that are not talking to one another. He wants to reconcile nations. He wants to reconcile people groups. He wants to reconcile countries. God is a good God. He wants us to reconcile with one another. Then he says, we are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And this is what God is saying, who we are. So when you start understanding that I am a child of God, it could be that you're still in that, there's still fear, then everything that I'm going to say from now onward will be Nehemiah. Ek kan nie dit doen nie. Dit voel vir my soos werk, it's just too much, this is law. But some of us have come to that place where we understand, oh, God is amazing. And what I want to share with from here onwards must be because we hear, this is what God is saying for me. He's spoken it into my heart. I want to respond to this. Not because I feel I must do it, want die pastoor het nou so gesê nie. It must be because I hear from God. I'm responding from God. This is what God is saying to me. But he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And it starts with a humbling. We mustn't go to God and say, God, humble me. Don't pray that prayer. I've done it. Yes, it's wrong. Everything goes terribly bad in your life when God humbles you. You know, there's this lady that I led to the Lord recently, but everything just went terrible with her the last 2 weeks. But she just couldn't come to that point where she surrenders to Jesus. She just couldn't. She came to that point where we kneeled and we prayed and she received Jesus. And afterwards, she's crying. We're all crying. And I just said, oh, Jesus is such a romantic. He just knows how to romance us. Because it was like he was taking her feet and dragging her face through the dust just to get her to surrender to him. You know, he's such a romantic in ways. But she got forced to that point, which is she just couldn't. I can't do this anymore. I've got to surrender. And she gave her heart to the Lord and praise God for that. But God wants us to humble ourselves. And pride is the one sin that none of us know when we have it. This is verskriklik. Because you think I'm the most humble guy on this earth, but meanwhile you're struggling with pride. You can be on the street, and you are on the street because of your pride. And you have nothing left anymore, but ek sal nie ingee nie. And pride is that one thing that is able to keep us away from the goodness of God. Because he says in the word that in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. So God is not saying, I resist you. He says, just humble yourself, bring your worries to me, put it on me because I want to exalt you. This is what God wants to do. So the place where we say, I will do it. Moenie worry nie, ek is fine. Ek is fine. Los my uit. He says, stop that. Bring it to me because I want to exalt you. This is the heart of God. But how do we know when we have pride? You know, you might find yourself talking about other people and their faults all the time. You want to point it out. You could find that you are gossiping. You want to promote yourself or maybe your work or your ministry, and it's about me. It's about what I can do. It's a place where we want to trust in our own ability that I can do this. I'm able to do this. We are self-righteous. Hoe kan hulle dit aan my doen? Ek kan dit nie glo. Ek kan dit nie doen. Self-justification. Nee, yes, ek sal terugkry. Revenge, I'll get them back. How dare they do this to me? It can be stubbornness. Yeah. we want revenge. We argue the whole time. Yes, we argue. I kan nie ingee nie. We are critical on other people's mistakes or how they do things. We want to point it out. We saying, this is verkeerd, this verkeerd, this verkeerd. We are critical when it comes to things or others. We even want to manipulate circumstances so that God's will can happen. If I'm manipulating a situation so that God's will can happen, there's something wrong. We must wait on God that He does it, not we do it, so that God can have His way. There's a place there where we surrender, where we not want to manipulate or control, but we surrender, because the root there is pride. Even when we say we have a special relationship with God, our church is better, or I'm higher than other people. They don't hear maybe from God as the way I hear, or our church have more revelation, or things like that can be the root of pride. That we have an ego, even racism. We are not yet completely right, where we judge other people just by the way they look. So pride is that place where God wants to remove me, that we can become completely dependent on Christ. So where we open to say, yes, Lord, I need help. Where we humble ourselves. And He says, we must even, unless we turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Because that's what He says, we must humble ourselves in Matthew 18. There's a place where we just come before God and says, okay, Lord, let your will be done. It's not about who I am, who I'm going to become, or who my ministry, and that people know me. It's just that I know you, that it's all about Jesus. And that place of humbleness, where we humble ourselves before God, then we start praying. And He says, humble yourselves, we must pray. In that place of praying, and I realized that, I realized there's a place where you just go before your knees, before God, and you pray and you feel, I need you, but then that's not enough. You just lie prostrate before God. Say, Lord, I need you, Lord, I need you. You don't pray, you just, Lord, I need you. You just lay prostrate before Him. We come to that place, say, God, I need you. And this is where I really believe God is wanting to take us, because in that place of prayer, God really speaks to us. He speaks to us powerfully. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22 says, Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. That's powerful words. Whatever we ask in prayer, if we believe, but that's the catch, we doubt. It can't be, isn't it? It can't work. But there's this doubt that comes in, and I believe that doubt is because we are not completely trusting and surrendering in God yet. And that comes in a process of knowing Him. But He wants us to surrender. And for me, I believe the key that God has given me is Matthew 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I believe this is the key. Many of us say, ek het tyd gespandeer met die Here op pad werk toe. Ek luister na preke. Ek het gevinnig 5 minute skiet gebedjie opgegee. But there's not a secret place where we go in our room, we close the door. And every time I read the scripture, I got angry because we must pray. And our intercession used to look so good. There was like 40 people before a service, and then it just took like go down. I couldn't understand. I said, Lord, what is happening? And it's like, I want you to pray. That's all I heard. But I missed this. I want you to pray in the secret place for me. And maybe this is just for me. But if you may be called to pray, I really believe this is the secret to what Dirk Jan and Renee is saying this morning to us. The prayer is in that secret place where we're seeking to know God. In that place where we pray that God wants to do amazing things through us. John 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Jesus says, whatever we ask in my name, this I will do. that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So these are the promises that God is giving to us. And then after that, he says, if we humble ourselves, if we pray, we must seek his face. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. If we seek him like that, we will find him. And I shared it this morning with Duncan and Donnie in the children's church. But there was another, also with Johan previously, but it was actually such a revelation when I shared it with Johan. I said to him, yes, Johan, you know, if I invite you for coffee, and I said to him, you know, we really need 70,000 rand. Can you help us? He would go, yeah, he would probably give us 70,000 rand. And 4 weeks later, if I phone him and I say, Johan, can we have coffee again? And he says, yeah, let's have coffee. He said, we need 20,000 rand. Can you help? Can you help me? He'll say, you'll probably help me again. But I know that by the third time I phone Johan, he's going to say, I'm very busy at the moment. Because he realized these coffees are starting to cost him a lot of money. And we come to God that way. We come to him with requests of things that we want. And we're not coming to him because we want to know him. We're coming because we are looking for stuff to do. And, you know, this is even with the whole thing and miracles. I love it when God does miracles. It's amazing. It's this lacquer. Next to people getting saved, that's probably the best thing that happens. If it happens both, then that's amazing. When God does miracles. But there was a point where I got almost frustrated with miracles, because it felt to me people were seeking God because they're wanting miracles. And it's not they wanting to know God. They were just wanting to see miracles. So in my heart, I was starting to separate myself from this. And I thought, it feels to me like there's deception in this. So I'm not, I didn't want to say too much, but this is how I just felt about the miracles, which is wrong, because I know God is a miracle-working God, and he does amazing miracles. In Sri Lanka, you go there, and people who are blind see, and people can't walk, and even in Solari's past, there was a man that I prayed for, he couldn't hear, and I said, what can I pray for you? So I cannot hear, and I prayed for him, and I said, no, and he says, donkey. I'm like, okay. So, and then afterwards, he came to me, I can't wear. I was so excited. It's amazing when God does miracles like that. So for me, I don't even want to pray about that anymore. But I pray that God heals the church emotionally, and that we see healings and stuff like that. And now I'm listening to Derek Prince, and he talks about how he's growing someone's, how God grows someone's leg because they had back pain. And I'm hearing this, and I'm hearing this. And then one day I come to the Rape Crisis Center where I minister quite a lot, and they're watching Todd White, I think his name is, and I'm like, yes, I know, I've seen this stuff. God really works wonderfully, but I don't want to get involved because of my heart. So the one day I'm going there to help, to pray for someone, and one of the volunteers asked if I can just quickly pray for their daughter because she's got back pain. So I'm like, I feel God is saying to me, her one leg is shorter than the other one. And now I'm like, nee. Is it now my gedagtes or is it now my kop? What is it now? But God set me up so wonderfully there. So I get there and I see this girl is really in pain and she's struggling. And I'm like, is your een been longer as your... Nee. I'm like, sit gegou. And kijk, your een been is longer as your ander ene. They're like, can we, let's pray for this. So I'm praying, and at that moment, all the doubt in the world entered my heart. Nee, but do not know. I'm like, at the next moment, I just hear, click. I said, hear it gehoor. And she's like emotional. I'm very emotional. And I look and it's completely straight. I said, praise the Heere. Heere, this is amazing. Praise God. This is amazing. This is amazing. So I said, stand up. And she stands. She says, but it's still, so not, Heere in die naam van Jesus. And then she's, and now she's emotional because I couldn't do this. And then she said, oom, ek het shin splints. Kan jy my groot guns doen asseblief? Ek gaan so, wat, weet ek, toch, dit gaan nou lang tyd vat. So sê ek het shin splints. Sê ek, maar kom ons bid vir die shin splints. Maar Here in die naam van Jesus, en nou huil sy almal huil. It's amazing. But I realize what God is saying to me. It's the presence. It's my presence. It's with me. It's don't seek me to have things. Seek me because you want to know me. This is what God is just saying to me because he's amazing. God is amazing. He wants to change all of our lives. He's got a plan, a purpose for all of us. But he wants us to come to him because he loves us and we love him. Ek so verlief op Jesus, this is amazing. This is amazing. Yes, it's amazing. Ek is verlief op die Here, hy is awesome. En in daai plek, he says, miracles will follow if we follow him, if we seek him. The signs and miracles will follow, but seek me, follow me. If we come to that place, and I believe seeking him talks about abiding in him and in my word in John 15. There's a knowing of the word that we're not seeking him, but we're really spending time to read, to know, to get to know God, to read the Old Testament, even if it takes forever, but read the word, read scripture, pray. Pray for everyone that you know. Pray and declare who God is. Declare God's goodness. And in that we grow of revelation of God is. And we spend time with him. We pray. We praise him. We worship him. We fall prostrate before him. We say, God, your will, Lord, your will be done, not my will. In that place where we surrender completely to Christ. I believe this is the place where God is wanting to take us. And from that place, yes, then God will save. He will heal. He will do amazing things in our lives. He will set free. But he's seeking his people to come into his presence because he wants to set free. And from that place, God responds. From that place, even when we're in his presence, I realize that God starts showing us where the sin is. So when I pray and I praise God, I'm not coming to him unless I've sinned, and I go, oh, Here, forgive me. I start with that. But most, some of the other times, I just come into his presence, I praise him, and then I'm quiet. I say, God, is there any sin that I must repent of? And then he shows me. Is there anyone that I must forgive? And then when he shows me, I forgive. Lord, bless them, and I pray for that person. Is there any bitterness in my heart, Lord? And he shows me the bitterness, and I, oh, Lord, forgive me. Am I being led by your spirit in all things? Lord, you know I'm not. Forgive me, Lord, but I really want to get to that place. Help me in that place. And we grow in that. But that's a place where God, in his presence, he shows us if there's sin. But he says in Colossians 3, verse 3, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creator. Sin destroys. The result of sin is death. Sin can be unforgiveness. It can be bitterness of heart. Grace, God's grace, is the power to overcome sin. In his presence, he takes away the desire for sin. That we come to a point where we don't want to sin anymore because He's a good God. We feel so bad when we sin. We feel so condemned. Say, God, please, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. That we understand there's no condemnation because we are in Christ Jesus. So if there's sin, it's a process that God is taking us through because he wants us to be with him. He wants us to be holy because God is holy. So in his presence, in seeking him, he takes the new old nature, and he replaces it with the new nature, the love of Jesus, the presence of God, the fullness of who Jesus is. And from that place, God says, I will respond. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I have sent you into exile. God's heart is to bless us, prosper us, give us a future and a hope. He's wanting us to seek him. And he says, when you seek me, you'll be found by me. And when you are found by Jesus, you just fall so in love with him because he's amazing. God is an amazing God. So I just want to bring you back to the last scripture here. Is if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Now it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And that is now, he says, ask me and it will be given to you. Whatever you ask me in my name will be given to you. But I believe there's a place where we come before God and say, God, I need you. I humble myself. We start praying. We start seeking him. We turn from our wicked ways, from ours, not the people's, yours individually, each one before him. We say, God, I'm seeking you in that place. Ask you to play that clip again if you don't mind.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle that we may proclaim you King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord, raise them up.
Can we just stand? Father, we want to just declare, Lord, that you are good, Lord. You are good in everything that you do, Lord. And I want to say, Lord, I'm so in love with you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life, God, in my family's life, Lord. Thank you what you're doing in this church, Lord God. Thank you what you're doing in this town, Lord. Thank you that you are raising people up, Lord God, who are disciples, Lord, who are following you, Lord. Thank you that we have the opportunity to be part of this. God, we are excited, Lord. I just want to declare, Lord, there's nothing better than to know you, Lord, because you are awesome. Awesome, Lord Jesus. All the glory, all the praise is yours. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you answer prayers, that you reconcile, Lord, that you forgive sins, God, that you set free, that you heal, that you love, Lord. Thank you that you are good, Lord. And God, we just want to pray and say thank you, Lord, that we can know that in knowing you, there's amazing benefits, Lord. You say in your word, we must first seek you and your righteousness, and these things will be added to you. But God, help us to seek you for who you are, Lord, to know you, to walk in the fullness of who you are, Lord God. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us, Lord. Your power, Lord, your love, your goodness, your mercy, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, help us, Lord, to meet the needs, Lord, of those who are needing you, Lord. God, I pray that you will make this church, Lord, a house of prayer again, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will make this church, God, a house that loves you with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, with all their soul, Lord. And loves one another as you loved us. God, I pray that this church will become a church that will go and make disciples and baptize them, Lord, in your name and teach them to observe all that you've commanded us, Lord. God, I pray that we will become a church, God, that meets the needs of the poor and the widows, the orphans, Lord. I pray that we will become a church that walk in the fullness of what you've called us for, Lord. To really know you, to praise and worship you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will raise up missionaries, Lord, and mission leaders, Lord, from this church to go to the nations, Lord. I pray that you'll change who we are, that you'll bring unity, God, in our midst, Lord, unity in you, Lord, in Christ. Where we come to that place where all we want is to know you, is to be with you, is to follow you, Lord. We pray that our priorities will be your priorities, and God, give us the grace, Lord, to follow them. That we walk out of this world into the fullness of who you are, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord, that you first loved us, Lord, and we choose you, Lord. I just want to give you the opportunity this morning, if you're wanting to choose Jesus, and this can be a first time that you respond to him, or that you know that you are loved by him, but you're not really there in that place where you're walking in his love, and you want to respond to him, say, Lord. And he says, I love you. I love you. And he's been saying it to you in various ways. And he's been romancing you. But you want to make a decision to say, I choose you. And do it publicly. And I say, I'm coming to you this morning. I surrender to you. I want to give you the opportunity to come forward that we can pray with you and celebrate Jesus. Father, we want to pray, and I want to ask you in the name of Jesus, God, to help us to grow us, Lord, that we can walk in the fullness. Thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Lord, that your heart is for us to bless us, to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope, Lord. We thank you for your love, your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, that you are good in every way, Lord. Father, we want to thank you that we can know there's a new season, Lord, and that you are moving and you're starting to do great and wonderful things, Lord. And We just want to say, God, we want to be part of it, Lord. We want to be part of you and that what you are doing. And we thank you, God, that you are with us. God Emmanuel, that you are always with us. And we can know that you are with us. And Lord, help us to come to the place of the cross where we can surrender to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. May God bless you. Trust that great and wonderful things will happen in your life. And thank you for the Gideons for being here. And for the Van der Veens van Utrecht. Dis baie lekker om julle almal hier te gehad het vanoggend. Seën vir julle. Amen.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.